Did you know that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day? Hi, Zach Kuhn here, entrepreneur, Nashville music business professional, and I'm here to tell you that if you need to recruit people for your business, ZipRecruiter is the place to do it. But don't take my word for it. You should take my word for it. And here's what you need to do. You need to go to ZipRecruiter.com/Zach. That's www.ziprecruiter.com/Zach to learn more there about recruiting the best people for your business. The fastest, best people fast. You know that fast, good, cheap pyramid? Well, this is doing it all. This is fast, good. And yeah, you got to check out the pricing online. That's kind of above my pay grade. But ZipRecruiter, check it out. Too many ads. Here we go.
The Zach Kuhn Show.
Zach, what's up, bro?
Ian!
How's it going, man?
How are you, dude? What's happening?
Great, man. Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Dude, you are looking so Ian Munsick right now. And that is a great thing. Where I've been seeing you. You've been wearing these. I'm trying to get my microphone. My whole microphone just popped off. Do you see that?
All good.
I think we're off to a great start here.
Do your thing, man. All good.
Jesus. Maybe we'll just hold on. For the sake of movement, we'll just hold it. Talk to me, bro. Tell me about these hats, because I see you always wearing these hats.
These King Robes.
The King. What is this? Is this your wife's brand? No, this is a different thing, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah. So this is a company in my hometown in Sheridan, Wyoming. Yeah, man. They make hats. They make ropes. They make horse tack. They make leather products, and they make awesome hats, dude. So it's just a way of representing my hometown and the Western way of life, man.
Dude, the hats are out of control. Can you get these online? Like, yeah, I want one of these hats.
Kingropes.com, man. Easy.
Kingropes.com. Easy. Wait, and I want to talk about this shirt also. First of all, I was watching some video somewhere where it was, I think Warner sent me some video, and it was like there were photos of you as a kid. You didn't always look like this, Ian Munsick. You used to look like your typical guy, but now you've got this elevated Western style. Who's doing this to you?
That's my wife.
Your wife is the one who's styling you. Like, first of all, look is incredible. But what's up with this shirt? Because this shirt's fantastic also. Where is this from?
Man, honestly, I think this was a thrift store find, man. That's where we hit up thrift stores around Nashville, and every time that we go home to Wyoming, man, I'm always looking for Western shirts, man, just because they're all the newer ones, man. They just don't have the it factor, dude, the it factor. But always constantly scouting on the internet and thrift stores and anywhere that I can get my hands on the old school brush.
Is there a specific shirt that you collect, like the Rock Mount or the Ranch Wear? Like, are there, or you don't care? It's like, if the shirt's got vibe, that's it.
Yep. Yes. Yep. I'm kind of freelancing right now, man. And I'm not sponsored by anybody. So,
Is that an open cry to sponsors? If you're a Western wear and you want to sponsor Ian Munsick,
yep,
hit him up. But your wife, I saw, made a nudie suit. She made like a coyote. Because that's pretty badass also.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, man. She is super, super talented in everything in terms of branding and clothing to anything that the eye is attracted to, man. She slays it, man. So all credit to her. At the end of the day, I'm a guy. I would gladly wear jeans and a t-shirt all day every day, or sweatpants and Crocs, but she makes me step up my game.
She's doing something right. Wait, so talk to me about this, because I'm trying to figure this out. Did she start managing you before you guys were dating?
Yeah man, so that's actually how we linked up, man. We went to school together, and we actually had a class or two together, and she saw me play at a showcase at school, and
where'd you go? You went to Belmont? Did you go to Belmont?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah,
yeah, man. And she saw me playing, and at the time I was playing the bass and singing harmonies, and the artist that she was interning for needed a bass player, so she linked me up with him, and then I went on the road with him for a couple years, and time went on, and I decided to that it was time to hone my own craft and become my own artist and do my own thing. And that was right around the time where she was getting off of the road with a rock group called Asking Alexandria. Yeah, man. She was on the road with them for a couple years. And man,
big heavy rock group.
Yes, man.
Heavy
exactly.
rock.
Yep. English boys.
English boys.
Yeah, man. But she wanted to get back into country music, so we relinked up and started to work again with each other. And yeah, man, just kind of organically happened that we were attracted, and as time went on, we figured out you know, how to make it work, being in a relationship and also being business partners, man. So
but who makes the first move? Because isn't that weird, because you're like, this is a professional relationship, totally. But maybe you were both getting vibes.
That's what it was, man. We were both getting the vibes, man. And you know, we had spent a lot of quality time both alone and with people, and just you know, traveling a lot. So we knew each other extremely well, which I think was a huge part of it. You know, because a lot of the times you think you know somebody that you go into a relationship with, and then that's when you figure out who they actually are. Whereas, you know, we had been through some stuff already, so we knew each other extremely well, and it was just kind of a natural move, man. It just kind of happened.
It's the new living together is being managed by your spouse. But I'm curious, do you ever talk with like Chris Jansen and Kelly about, because I think that you and Chris Jansen are the only people in country music who are managed by their wives. Is there anyone I'm leaving out?
No, man. But honestly, I could look at every artist and you would ask them and they would say that their wife is also their manager, because that's just how it goes, man. Girls run the world.
It's what happens by default. Wait,
exactly.
So what did those early releases look like? Like Horses Are Faster,
yeah. Yep.
for example, like was that was, I guess that was before you teamed up with Irv for
yes.
that release. So that's purely you two, you and yeah. your wife hustling this record. Like what happened to this record? How did this record take off and blow up?
Yeah, dude. So for Horses, man, I wrote and recorded that actually before I moved to Nashville even. So I was a 19-year-old Wyoming boy, green in the ways of the world and the industry. And man, my dad and my two older brothers and I played in a family band at home, man. So that's kind of how I got my upbringing in music, and that's kind of where that bluegrassy, the mountainy, the western flair comes from in my music is through that. And so we had a recording studio actually in our home, and it wasn't like a really nice one, but it was just a room that you know, there was a couple the microphones in there, and then we just kind of did our thing, man. But so I really got into it, and living in Wyoming, after high school, I went to college in Wyoming for a year, so I was able to spend some quality time at home and on the ranch, and that's when I wrote it and recorded it, and then put it out on YouTube, just because I think that Spotify was just coming around, and iTunes and all that stuff. But I put it out on YouTube, and then moved to Nashville, and then just kind of let it to live its life on there. And then you know, I would kind of keep my eye on it, and then through Instagram and that kind of stuff, then I saw that people were really listening to it a lot more, and then it kind of got wrapped up in the Red Dirt Texas thing too. So then, you know, like my name kept on popping up with a lot of the up and coming Red Dirt artists. And then that's kind of when I relinked with Caroline, and she's like, hey, you need to put these out on like Spotify and stuff, so you can start to capitalize on your actually creations.
When you start, and I don't know what the answer is here, but when you start getting linked with like the Red Dirt artists, are you like, whoa, pump the brakes, people? I'm from Wyoming. Don't put me in with these Red Dirt Texans. Is there something to this, or are you just grateful to be accepted anywhere?
Man, honestly, I was just grateful, man, because coming from Wyoming, there's not a lot of artists there because there's not a lot of people there. So it didn't really, the Rockies don't really have their own music scene. They do, but not as much as, say, the Texas, right? Because that's its whole new world. So you can't just tour Wyoming. Yes. Yeah. That's exactly right. But in Texas, you damn sure can. So I was just really grateful to be put in that ballpark with artists that I grew up listening to as well, man, because I really loved Red Dirt through high school, man. So that was really cool. And then, we decided to put it out on a project in 2017, I think. And and that's kind of when I started then to do more covers on Instagram and stuff and start to expand on my social media game.
Right. Wait, and then how do you team up with Irv Woolsey? How does that partnership come together? Because this is like the, I mean, who was the last artist that he took on in a serious way? Maybe there are other artists, but
there are, he's partnered with a lot of, up and coming artists, man. But you know, obviously, him working with George Strait for as long as he has, that was just like, man, whew, that's like as cool as it gets. But Irv and his partner, Alan, they knew Caroline from way back in the day. Cause Caroline, she wasn't huge on the whole classroom, school, education world. She was more in like, okay, no, I'm going to go out and meet people, like the music industry actually works, right?
It's how about you? Were you a good student?
What's that?
Were you a good student?
Man, I was a songwriting major, so kind of doesn't even count as being a student. It's like,
but what about in high school? Not to jump around, but in high school, were you a good student?
In high school? No, horrible. Not good, dude.
Too busy playing music.
I was good in English. I liked history, but didn't really do good on the whole like to date end of it. And then math, just absolutely horrible, dude. Terrible.
Me too. Horrible.
Dude. Yeah. And it's like, man, when are you going to use any of that stuff? Imaginaries? Like why am I learning that stuff as a sophomore in high school? Like teach me how to do my taxes, please.
That's what I had to learn later in life, which I always cursed because I thought, why didn't someone teach this to me in high school? That would have been valuable.
I know, man.
That would have been valuable knowledge. But were you like a cool, like, were you the guy gigging? See, I picked up guitar in middle school because I thought it would get me all the chicks. But then I realized that it's actually a repellent. It actually doesn't work that way. Girls do not actually like guitar, is what I've learned. But were you like the popular guy in school playing guitar, band, dressing like at a million bucks? Were you the popular guy, or like, I don't know, maybe you weren't?
Man, I went to a pretty small school, man. There was only probably 250 kids in my whole school. So it was pretty small. So being popular, you know, everybody is kind of popular. Like if you play a sport and you're okay at it, then you're an athlete. You know what I mean? I think that I got along with pretty much everybody and just always had a smile on my face, man. So I think that kind of helped out. And I played music through high school and was in choir in high school, and I loved sports in high school just like a lot of high schoolers do, but I was never really good at any of them. But music was always the one thing that I could always just go back to and play in my room or at concerts so I think that people were attracted to that aspect of it just because I loved to play music. And there's not a lot of people in the Rockies who who play music that young, you know? So I think that that kind of helped me meet new people.
And did you think that you could actually have, like, did you see other people making careers at music? And did you think it could really happen? You could make a real career at music? Or was it like, I'm just doing this for fun? I don't really see a career path here. My dad does it for fun. He's not really a professional musician, right? Yeah. Like how are you thinking about it?
Yeah, man. Well, that's a great, great question, man. Cause, growing up playing with my dad and my brothers, my dad had a band and they would play every Friday night and, you know, they'd play at rodeos or the dances or private events all around Wyoming and Colorado and Montana and just kind of throughout the Rockies, man. But I think playing with my brothers and my dad at a young age, man, I remember being on stage with them when I was about 8 years old. And the first gig that we played, on the way home, my dad handed me a $20. And I was like, oh my gosh, we get paid for that? Like, I'm in. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. So that's when I knew that I was like, all right, well, that could be really cool. And then obviously grow up a little bit. And my dad preached. He always told me, Ian, the best thing I ever did for my music was I got a real job, because then it allowed me to cherish the beauty and the essence of what music is. And it's escapism, man. It's creativity. It's you then cherish the time that you get with music. So that was always preached to me, but man, honestly, I just was never good at anything else. So
I was gonna say, did you ever get a real job?
No, man. I've been very lucky to be able to play in bands and to live off of the music that I've released and figured out a way to make it work, man. Yeah, man. So I've just been very, very, very lucky, and hopefully I'll always continue to be able to make music my number one priority and my quote unquote job.
I think you're on the path. Okay, wait. So Caroline did the real school, which is she went out, she met people. I'm trying to get the story of how we met Irv Woolsey and how we got connected. So she's hustling.
She's out hustling, man. So she met Alan and Irv out, man. And I'm not exactly sure how it happened. I have Alan right here, actually.
Alan, what's up? Knows.
Alan, how did you meet Caroline?
What's up? You know, I can't remember exactly how I'm sure it was she came in Losers or something, and she just very, I shouldn't say this, but she used to sneak in there when she was underage. But, so it took a minute before we knew, but she was very vocal and stepped right up and just was always intrigued about trying to learn. And you could always tell people when they're different, and they're just, oh, I want to hang out with you because it's cool. And, you know, you're Irv Woolsey. She legitimately tried to learn from Irv. And he picks up on that quickly because he gets it all the time. And I picked up watching it. I was like, oh, hang on, there's something. I knew pretty quick that Caroline was going to be a force to be reckoned with in the music business. I didn't know I was going to be managing an artist with her when I first met her, but I'm very excited to do that. I knew she would be somewhere like this very quickly. She's very smart.
And what about while we have you here? Because I think you could manage anyone in Nashville. Anyone would kill at the opportunity to let you manage them, but you're not with anyone. You're with Ian Munsick. What about Ian pulled you in? Was it the outfits and the look, the incredible music?
The bolo tie.
The bolo tie.
I do love the bolo. I do love the bolo. You know what? Caroline, she played as she played when she first, when he was talking about it, it's interesting to listen to the story, when she put out when he put out The Horses Are Faster, that's a few years ago now. And when I first heard it, I immediately thought, I love this, but I thought, what the hell do you do with that exactly? but as time rolls on, you kind of evolve and everything kind of starts working. And it's a great story. Caroline always stayed in touch, and we would always go to happy hour or have lunch or something, and she would ask questions. Weirdly, it was weird for me to be somewhat mentoring someone, but yet I was always learning from her as well. She keeps me hip very now in the scene sometimes. And So she came in and she played me Ian's music that they were, the new music that they were making. And I loved it. And then when she said, okay, well, I've not played this for anybody, which she'd probably had. She was just making me feel good. And she said, but I just want to keep you updated. I'll let you know when it's finished. And then she sent it to me when it was finished. And I just listened to it and I couldn't stop listening to it. I told them, I was like, man, if you could see how much I was listening to this, you would think I'm a stalker. Because it just never burned. And I went to Irv and I said, Irv, you've got to hear this music. This is Ian Munzik that I'd already told him about from the Horses Are Faster music that Caroline's working with. I said, but this is really, really good. And of course, he's always like, you know, what's going on with Caroline? And I said, I don't know. I'm going to feel this out a little bit. And then so we kept communicating. I guess it's okay. I took over your podcast, Ian. I'm telling the story of how we came together. But it's really a great story. I went back. She had all these meetings set up. She knows everybody in town. And she's doing all these great things. And, you know, you knew she was going to manage Ian. But I went to Irv and I said, listen, I said, I know she's going to do this, but I don't know if she's planning on doing it by herself or if she's going to try and find a partner. I don't know. But if you're interested if she's interested, would you be interested in partnering? He goes, absolutely. Let's talk to her. So I'm sitting back and I go back to my office and I spend the next 24 hours trying to figure out how to make this Caroline's idea to partner with Irv and I. She texts me the next day and she says something. I said, I love this music. I said, it's contemporary. It's country. It's got a touch of Ricky Skaggs in there. And I think that's what got Ian. She said it because she immediately texted me. She goes, oh, you got Ian when you heard the touch of Ricky Skaggs. And of course, I'd just been watching that, what was the guy's name that did the documentary
Ken Burns.
And I was fresh off the Ricky Skaggs episode. But it was true. And then so she said, well, hey, can I update you? And so she called me up and she's telling me this, that, and the other. And she said, I don't know if you're interested or not, but your guy's the first person I'm calling. She said, I know I'm going to manage him. I manage him. She goes, but I know that I've got to do the right thing by him and partner with somebody so that we can do this right. And she said, you guys are the first guy I'm calling. She goes, I don't know if you're interested or even have room on your roster, but I want to know if you'd be interested in partnering. And I wish I could have had a camera on me because I was sitting in my office and I just flipped back in my chair and I start looking in the air and looking around. If I'm praying, I said, hell, I've been spending the past 24 hours trying to figure out how to make this your idea. Hell yeah, we're ready to partner with you. I've already talked about this to Irv and everything.
That's not what you said. What you said is, let me think about it. I'm going to go.
Yeah, I showed my cards, buddy. I was done.
But Ian, well, I love getting this perspective, but yeah, Ian, man. Is that true? Were they the only managers you called?
Hey,
maybe,
man,
it was a play. There were.
I'm okay if I got
to
played.
That is God's honest truth, man. There had been some other people in town that were saying like, oh, well, I want to get you in touch with this person or that person, and Caroline was always like, no, like they're not the right ones, or we need to be patient. Just because I am Caroline's first artist. And we're young and, so there was a lot of people who probably would have taken advantage of that and then would have said like, well, Caroline, you need to take a back seat and let us do it. But she knew exactly what she wanted. And, man, I'm very grateful because, Alan and Irv and Caroline are like the dream team, dude. So it was all meant to be.
Absolutely. I had John Spazio on this podcast.
Yeah. Dude.
A while ago.
Nice.
And we were talking about you a little bit about a group of artists that Warner has, signed in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I guess typically, although not always, but maybe you play the showcase, you meet with the label in person, yeah. You go to their office, you kind of do that whole song and dance. But you couldn't really do that right now. Wait, so had you met with Warner before the pandemic or was it all done virtually?
It was all virtual, man. I still have only met a handful of people over there, but obviously I know them extremely well through Zooms. But yeah, man, our first meeting with them was in April of 2020, which was obviously like a month after lockdown. And then we inked with them in July. So it was all 100% virtual, man. Crazy.
Is there a different song and dance? Like, do you hop on Zoom and play acoustic? Do you like talk with them a lot to get a feel? Like, what's the song and dance on Zoom versus in person? Because it's a, the music thing. The label wants to be sure the vibe is right. They want to think you're a star, which is, I mean, it's easy to get with you, but like, isn't there's a different song and dance in the pandemic, right? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude, it was honestly, man, I'm glad that it was on Zoom because it makes it even more about the music and the brand. Whereas, you know, like you can schmooze all day long and then you can be like, oh, well, they, you know, they've been spoiling me and treating me really well, but then you don't know if that's going to keep on happening afterward, you know, and it's like all part of the schmoozing. But you take away the schmoozing and you figure out exactly like what it's going to be like. So that was really cool, man. I think that it was a unique thing for all of us to kind of encounter. But yeah, man, we did a lot of Zooms. And then I knew that they were the right ones because of all of the different people on the A&R staff and the creative staff who would reach out. Whereas, you know, like, I feel like a lot of times, you know, like you'll get like the main point of contact over there. We'll reach out. But man, I had almost everybody on their A&R staff just immediately was reaching out and kept on reaching out through the springtime. So man, it was a great choice. And I'm very, very glad that we went with Warner because they're just an awesome, awesome company to be working with.
Do people start treating you a little bit differently when you sign a label deal? Like all of a sudden those people who like didn't think you were cool are now trying to get rights with you. And like, like I would typically say, you know, do different people start talking to you about Red Door when you sign a record deal? But I guess going to Red Door, but what's happening? How does your life change? I guess you recently put out music, but before you put out the music, how has your life changed just by signing a record deal?
Yeah, man. I think that you nailed it, man. I think that the main thing has been the amount of rights. You know, Caroline definitely knows a lot of the writers around town and had, you know, and I was writing with some great, great writers, man. But when I signed my deal, there was just a huge influx of now we have the opportunity to say no to people. Whereas before it was like, man, I'll write with whoever I can, whenever I can. And now like I just can't. And I'm grateful just because that's a lot of opportunities. But I think that has been one of the main ones. But man, really, and I think that this is a testament to Caroline and the brand. But you know, I think that people before I had my deal, they were always like, man, like I love your stuff on Instagram and your covers and man, like it's just a matter of time. So that was really, really cool for me to keep on doing my thing and not trying to please a label, but to just stay in my own lane and just keep on doing my own thing. And then being patient enough to know when the right time to bring on a label was.
Right. I think your label imprint, if you ever form one, I think it should be called No Schmooze Records.
Oh, dude, I love that. I think that's awesome, dude. Cut through the BS, dude.
Why No Schmooze Records? What? Tell me about the song Humble, which I think for what it's worth, and this is a great record, but I think this is my favorite song on the record. This is fun, just feel good kind of thing. Yeah, how's the song come together?
Man, that was a weird one, man. Writing that one, I think that we actually started with the bass, man, and just kind of having that four on the floor arena like drum and bass feel. And then you know, we didn't really have a song that was a tribute to the cowboy lifestyle. And man, one thing that's always irked me about the modern country is that it's always painting cowboys as heartbreakers and cheaters and outlaws. Whereas, man, all the cowboys I know, who are the cowboys in Wyoming, are not that. They are the most loyal, humble, people that you want as your friend and on your team. So I really wanted to set the record straight on that. So that's kind of where Humble came from.
Cowboys always humble. What's happening? Because none of these songs we've really had a chance to get out and play live, right? Maybe. Yeah. So what? Any plans right now? That are you looking at dates right now? Can we even say anything? Or
actually, what's happening? Tomorrow early morning we have a run in through Colorado, up through Wyoming, over to Nebraska, then back through Colorado. Man, so I'm super excited to get back out on the road this weekend, and then also next weekend as well, man. And I'll get to spend a little bit of time in Wyoming too, which will be awesome, man. Just very grateful to be back out on the road after a long year of sticking at home.
Is this full band? Are you playing full band?
No, man, just me and a fiddle player, which is honestly, I love that style, man. Cause you know, we still get rowdy, but it's just easier to travel with and to kind of free ball it, you know, whereas you have a band and you really got to be locked. But yeah, man, I just love to play just me and my guitar and my fiddle player, man. We have a thing going on. So that's going to be a lot of fun, man. I can't wait.
That actually sounds really great. I would love to see Ian Munsick with a fiddle, just you and a fiddle. Dude. Very intimate, very very solo. That's it. But will a full band be coming soon, do we think?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, man. Yep. Yep. We have dates lined up in from June on, man. That's going to be kind of the full band thing. Hopefully those stick around. I know that you know, the world is kind of at a weird place with opening up and not opening up. So we'll kind of have to play it by ear, but that's definitely in the works right now. So
have you had any interactions with any of the other like Warner label mates? Like, dude, have you been able to kind of hang out with them a little bit or not really? Yeah.
Not really, man. The only one is Devin Dawson. We've been pals for a long time now. We went to school together. So, man, I've been writing songs with him for a long time. And, so I know him well and we still write songs. But man, other than that, I actually met Cody Johnson, here the other week at Starstruck, man. He was recording for his new album and I got to hang out with him a little bit, which was really cool. Cause he's been one of my heroes. That's about it though, man. Just those two.
I think you got to get on like the Dan Shea tour.
Oh, dude, believe me, bro. I would love to open up for Dan and Shay and then open up for Cody Johnson right after, just to prove a point, man.
Just to say you could do it. And we know you can. Ian Munsick, the new album, Coyote Cry. I was going through this. First of all, the cover of Dreams that's on this record is awesome.
Thank you.
And this was recorded like pre-TikTok moment with Dreams. This is just like, hey, Dreams, great song. Let's put our own country twist onto this.
Yep.
And it's really a great cover. And I love this whole thing, man. I love the opening solo. The whole thing is incredible. Did Caroline do the branding for this? Who did the branding for this record?
Yeah, man. So she did it. You know, we obviously had a lot of talented artists do the artwork, but man, it was all her brainchild, man. Anything that has to do with the eyes, I just to take a step back and do the ears, man. She's all eyes.
You want that person on your team.
Yeah, dude, absolutely, man. Teamwork makes the dream work, baby.
And what's the name of her management company? I was trying to figure this out. It's called?
Not a public figure.
So this is very concerning to me because I think you do want a public figure.
Well, man, right? It's...
Why do you not want a public figure? Why not a public figure?
It's all about the humbleness, one, of that, because there's a lot of people who claim to be public figures on Instagram and stuff that, like, dude, if you have to claim that you're one, then you're probably not, you know what I mean? So I think that there's a little bit of that in there, and then there's also a little bit of the rebel counterculture as well to it, which obviously I love older music and the hippie generation in more than one way. So I think that there's a little bit of that in there too.
Okay, so this makes sense. She thought through it. It wasn't. Yeah. It's yeah. not a regret. It's not a later regret that she named the company that.
I don't think so, man. She's pretty. What she says goes usually, and then like I'll look back and say like, oh, like why did we do that? And then like a year later, I'm like, oh, that's why we did that. That makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And her label, which is No Famous Artists, is happening. It's all happening. Ian, I'm such a fan, man. Thanks for taking the time. Dude, have we left anything out? What's been unsaid? Have we left anything out?
No, man. No. Man, I think that you've hit everything on the head, dude. And, man, I really appreciate you having me on here, dude. I know that you have a ton of great, great artists and writers and industry people on here, man. So thank you for including me, brother.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to have you on. I think you're such an interesting figure in country music. I mean that in such a great way, because I think we all know that you can sometimes see the something blows up and everyone tries to grab that thing of their own, but there's no other Ian Muntz together. I think you're one of a kind, which is
thank you, Zach.
Is this your studio? Where are you right now?
Yeah, man, this is my home studio.
You've got a great studio. No, it's not.
No, man, this is Starstruck. So
You're in Starstruck. Yeah.
I wish that it was my own, but no, man, I'm unworthy of this backdrop.
Hey, how does Warner prep you for these days? What does Warner say when you go into these media events? Like, is there a training for this, or are you always this personal? Like, what's the? Because all artists have this thing, and I want to know if they're born with it, or I want to know if the label trains them to have it.
Gosh, dude, they do some like media training where they'll kind of like be sure that you have your backstory down and like your small version and then your long version and then subjects that you want to touch on or that you don't want to touch on, but man, honestly, dude, I usually just free ball it. So
but have you always felt like, I always feel like artists are just, they always make you feel kind of warm and fuzzy inside. There's no other way to say it. They really do. But
well,
do
it's
you
hard to
like
be a dick and get anywhere, man?
I know, but I think like there are people who aren't dicks, but who don't make me feel warm and fuzzy. But
yeah, totally. Always
make me feel warm and fuzzy. Are you like? Do you think? Are you aware of that? Do you think you have that ability to do that? Like, have you always been a people person? Easy to get, like, has everyone always gravitated towards you?
Man, honestly, I think I just like to smile and laugh, dude. And honestly, man, I'm more interested in other people than I am in explaining me to other people. So I feel like people really like to be heard. So man, I think that's probably a big reason why people like to spend time with me, man. But hey, dude, I don't know, man. I'm just grateful to be here and to spread the message, man, and to hear other people's stories, man, because we all got a story, you know?
Absolutely. Ian Muntzik, the new album Coyote Cry is out now. It came out in February. This is a great record. He's hitting the road. He's playing with solo with a fiddle player.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry, the full band's coming soon. And if you want the hat that he's wearing, you can go to King Ropes.
Yes, sir.
In Wyoming. I'm going to get one of these hats. These are great. I've got my Stetson hat on.
Yeah, that's pretty slick too.
The Stetson hat's great from Hat Works here in Nashville, but
really nice.
But I want a King Ropes hat. I'm going to go grab one.
One click away from it.
One click away. Ian, happy Tuesday. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, man. You too, brother.
And hope to see you at a show sometime soon.
Yes, sir. You the man, Zach.
I'm going to go fix my mic. Thanks for bearing with me.
Yeah, we had
a broken mic. How embarrassing was that?
You're right, man. I've seen a lot worse than a broken mic, dude. So
okay,
fine,
great.
Brother.
I'll take it.
You're fine.
Be well. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. See you, Zach.
There you have it. Ian Muntzik on the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks again to Ian for taking the time to come on the show. Great talking with him. And, you know, you got to listen to Ian's music, but you also have to check out his visuals. Check out his Instagram, his social media, his cover artwork. You're going to be glad you did. And it's going to make you feel like that cowboy inside. That I think everybody's got that little cowboy inside, and Ian Muntzik might bring it out of us, cowboy or cowgirl, whichever it is. I think Ian Muntzik is going to bring it out of you. Take my word for it. The Zach Kuhn Show is mixed by Sam Heyman, and our theme music is by Justin Johnson.
If you want more content from us, you can subscribe to our newsletter at nashvillebriefing.com, or you can follow us on socials, everything at Nashville Briefing. The Zach Kuhn Show is part of the American Songwriter Podcast Network, and we are proud to be part of it. Look, there's some other great podcasts on this network, and you should check some of them out. There's some really great shows on the American Songwriter Podcast Network. You got to check them out. We are brought to you by Zip Recruiter. And that's it. That's all I have to say. I'm done. I've gone overtime. Here we go. I'm out of here. Goodbye.